Hi everyone, welcome to the Empower Hour show today with Debbie Sherrick, a holistic codependency coach, that's me, and my little partner here, Laura Bookbinder, who is the owner of Yoga Bliss. Hi Laura.
Hi Debbie, so nice to be with you as always.
Thank you, and we had a little computer difficulty this morning getting on, so we apologize for starting a couple minutes late. We're blaming the Mercury retrograde. So we just prayed white light and angels all around our computers that we can get through the show today talking about our topic and not have any other problems. So today I want to welcome you again for joining us, whether you're watching us live right now or watching the recording. And today on the Empower Hour show, we're going to talk and break down the Serenity Prayer and relate it more to codependency. And so, first of all, I'm going to read the full Serenity Prayer, and then we're going to break down and talk about it a little bit and how we can relate it to our lives. I personally love the Serenity Prayer. I don't think the Serenity Prayer is just for people that are in recovery. Do you, Laura?
No, absolutely not. I love to repeat it on a regular basis. It's a great reminder to surrender and let go of the things that you can't control. So I use it on a regular basis.
Yes, I love it too. And it is, as I said, it is great for codependency recovery because, you know, we love to be controllers and obsess and fix things and we're always needing to let go. So, you know, this year, particularly this year, I have really been quoting every morning when I have my quiet time the Serenity Prayer, because it was through the Serenity Prayer this year that I actually got my word for the year. Because every year, God gives me a word, I believe, for the year, for my journaling and for me learning. And I've been doing that for almost 20 years now. I never know what the word's going to be until I, you know, a couple weeks before the new year starts. And then as the year goes on, I realize why he gave me that word. Last year, my word was wisdom. One year it was authenticity. You know, one year it was new beginnings. I don't really know. But this year, my word was courage. And when he first gave me that word and I heard it so clearly in my spirit and I thought, courage, I got kind of scared. Like, oh my gosh, what am I going to need courage for this year? So anyway, I'm excited about it. And the Serenity Prayer, also when I went to buy my new journal, on the front of my journal in Barnes & Noble, big and bold, was the Serenity Prayer. Again, on, you know, that I saw, and it was just part of me hearing that my word was courage. So right now, let me start out by reading the full prayer, and then we're going to get started in dissecting it and breaking it down and talking about it, Laura and I. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Christ did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you, God, will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. So we're going to talk today about, you know, and it is about surrender. The whole Serenity Prayer is about us surrendering to a power greater than ourselves, who I choose to call God. And so today we're going to break down, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to break it down into talking about serenity, peace, acceptance. We're going to talk a lot about acceptance. And we're going to talk about courage and having courage to change and kind of getting a clarity on what we can change, what we can't change. We all need reminders of that. And when you think about serenity, God grant me the serenity, and I've even had people say or choose to say in the beginning that they've had to say, God, grant me the willingness to accept the things I cannot change. Because sometimes in the beginning, at first, we have to have the willingness to have the acceptance. So serenity, God, grant me the serenity. So we're asking God, please give me serenity. Please give me peace. What does serenity, when you hear the word serenity, which I love that word, I think it's such a pretty word. What do you think of, Laura, when you think about serenity?
I love that word too, Debbie. Serenity for me is complete presence and being in the moment and not future tripping and thinking about what's going to happen next, the future, or what happened in the past. Serenity is complete joy, peace, presence. So just being in the now and accepting the present moment. I love that word.
I love that word too. And really it is peace, because in order to accept things, we do have to have peace. And as I was, you know, really meditating on this prayer before today and thinking about it, I was thinking, you know, the beginning, God, grant me the serenity. We're asking God to give us that peace and serenity. And I was thinking about how God says that he gives us peace, not as the world gives us, but as he gives us, the peace that passes all understanding. So there's, when we're asking him to grant us serenity, grant us peace, that it's something that he can give us. It's almost like a stillness of our soul or a calmness and a security, you know, that everything's going to be okay, that God's there to take care of us. So I love, you know, I think it's important that we, you know, don't go over the part where we're talking about serenity, that we talk about that God, we're asking God to grant us, to give us his grace and his serenity and his peace, which is different than the world's peace. Because sometimes people, you know, in the world, we will think that serenity and peace is a lot of things that it's not. Maybe, you know, if I can get this person to love me, or if I can have this job, or if I can make this kind of money, I'd really be peaceful, I'd really have serenity. And those things are all temporary. You know, that serenity and peace, I think that God's, this prayer that God's talking about, is something that's like, no matter what's going on around you, no matter what your circumstances are, that we have an opportunity to change and choose to have serenity and peace from God. Once we can detach and have acceptance of the reality of things that are going on in our life.
Yeah, I agree. I think I say it a lot, finding peace in the midst of chaos. So surrendering in that moment where you want to maybe punch someone in the face, yeah. You want to find that surrender and ask God or your angels, whoever, to assist you in finding that inner peace, even though there may be chaos going on in your life. It's challenging.
That's right. And as I said earlier, I think, you know, the Serenity Prayer is a really perfect antidote for controlling behavior. So let's talk a little bit about patterns of controlling behavior and things that, you know, we tend to do. Of course, we're talking a lot about codependency behavior today. So when we talk about that, and a lot of times people have these behaviors, but they don't consider themselves codependent. And again, we're talking about behaviors. We're talking about certain behaviors that go along with, that is codependent behavior. It's learned behavior. It's habitual behavior. It's behaviors from our belief system, from childhood, from way back, that we continue to repeat, that we're trying to recover and not do those things anymore. So some of that is, of course, controlling others' behavior, managing other people's lives, or managing the addict's lives, or managing our children's lives, you know, helicoptering, policing, and that is codependent behavior when we're trying to manage someone else's life. Controlling, reacting, overreacting, when people overreact to things and they're triggered very easily. You know, that's giving that power over to someone else. That's not having serenity, and also trying to control something. So we acting, worrying, and obsessing. You know, really, I call that codependent chatter in the mind where you just obsess, and think and wonder and if the what ifs and what if this happens and what if they do this. And so the worrying, the obsessing, the managing, the enabling, the controlling, those are all the things that we can't change. We have acceptance of it, the things that we can't change. I love this. I pray God to accept with a serene mind the things I cannot change. Help me to have a serene mind. Help me to have a peaceful mind to accept the things I cannot change. Because the prayer states that there are elements of my life which I have no power over. Gee, that's a statement that's, you know.
Very true.
Very true, and even though we know it intellectually, subconsciously, sometimes we act like we don't know that by the way we act, you know, that we are powerless over. So my serenity depends on my acceptance of that. My serenity depends on the acceptance that there are certain things in my life, people, places, and things that I have no power over. And the more I fight them, the more I'm tormented. And when we think about controlling and trying to change things all the time, what do you think the root of that is, Laura? We've talked about that.
Yeah, I think it's that codependency of powerless, that feeling of powerlessness and the lack of trust in God and the universe and just feeling like everything's out of control, and you know.
I've always felt like too that.
Oh, fear too.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That the more we want, we're afraid. You know, we're fearful. We want to change someone else's behavior, and you know, we need to get into. The acceptance of that about ourselves, that's part of taking responsibility and say, you know, I want to change this person's behavior or something that this person's doing so that I can feel better. Mm-hmm. So it'll make me feel safer. So it'll make me, you know, this is maybe, you know, and we get into relationships where we don't really care maybe for the other person's behavior. We don't really like the personality or whatever, and yet we can spend a lifetime trying to change that to make us feel better. And then we get into that those power struggles. So, you know, there's a little book out, and I went, before we started today, I went to look for it in my book library, and I couldn't find it. I think that I probably gave it to someone a while back, remember, but I want to get another one. It is one of the greatest little books. It's a tiny little pamphlet book. And the name of it, it's blue and white on the back. It has a dove, a white dove on the front. And the name of the book is Acceptance, the Key to Serenity. And the book, I remember reading that when I first got into ACOA many years ago, or Al-Anon, about when I was learning about acceptance and learning that I couldn't change. You know, my father, my addict husband, all those things that I was learning to have acceptance about, and acceptance of the kind of childhood I had, that book helped me so much. I read it over and over and over. And one of the little stories in the book I remember is this old Indian chief sitting on the ground, and there's like a windstorm and a whirlwind going on all around him, and things are flying all around him in disarray and crazy. And he's sitting there meditating with his eyes closed, really soft and peaceful, and not reacting. And so when they ask him, how are you staying so peaceful when everything around you is not how you like it or crazy, he said that we're acceptance is the key to serenity, that I can't change it. So if I accept it, I'm more peaceful and it doesn't bother me. And when I think about that today, I thought we could talk a minute, Laura, about being in resistance. because you sure can't have serenity being in resistance about something. And what that means, you know, there's a saying now, and you know, Abraham Hicks says it, and a lot of people, you hear it today, that what we resist persists.
Right.
And so resistance to me is the opposite of acceptance. So let's talk about what resistance is, because some people don't really understand when they're in resistance.
Right.
With something. Let's talk about what that means. What's that mean to you when you're in resistance about something that you want changed?
Well, I think it's
something you're not accepting.
It's a huge block. It's a huge barrier in accepting something. It's the opposite. You know, if I also hear this quote a lot where you don't learn your lessons until you don't find peace until you learn that lesson and accept the lesson. And the lesson will come up over and over again until you accept what's going on with you. So that it could be resistance, it could be, sadness, it could be anger, it could be whatever it is, but it's going to keep coming up until you learn to accept it, until you learn your lesson. And that resistance is just going to continue unless you surrender and accept and let go.
Yeah. I was thinking, too, when you were talking about when being in resistance about not liking something and fighting it. When we're resisting something, we're in a battle with it.
Yeah.
And that saying of what I resist persists. So it's kind of like the more we resist something, the more we let it bother us, the more we resist it and try to change it. So let's take, for instance, let's really narrow it down to something. Let's talk about maybe someone that we're in relationship with. It could be a partner, a child, or a boss or something that has an anger issue and that they react really quickly, or they have maybe rage issues and blow off really. And so when they do that and we react to that and we're constantly going back at them and saying, you're not going to do this, and why are you doing, and then we get into the dance of back and forth and anger and raging back and forth, when we're in resistance of something, we're in resistance against that anger and we're constantly talking about it and complaining about it and talking to other people about it, we're just in resistance against that behavior. We're really asking for more of it.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. You know, if you focus on the good and you focus on your blessings and gratitude, then more of those things will come your way. But if you're focusing on the issue and the resistance and the fight, then you're gonna it's gonna expand.
And I think that's where that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
What we resist persists.
Yeah.
You know, when we're resisting someone's addiction, we're resisting someone's, you know, we're battling against it. We're not in acceptance. And we're not accepting reality, because that's where the accept the things I cannot change. We can't change someone's personality. We can't change someone who's choosing to use. We can't change that someone's unavailable to us. I mean, think about all the energy that we expend trying to get someone to get it, trying to get someone to change, to be what we want them to be or what we feel we need, or just getting someone to meet our needs. Maybe you're in a relationship where the person's very unavailable and your needs aren't being met. And they're preoccupied with addiction or themselves or whatever the reason is. And that we stay in resistance about that and keep forcing and forcing and forcing and pushing and pushing, trying to get our needs met. You've heard me say many times, it's like going to the hardware store trying to buy milk. You know, it's just not there. But we stay in resistance about it, and then it keeps persisting. And what does that do to us when we stay in resistance and we don't have acceptance? You know, it's tormenting, it's not peaceful, it's blaming, playing victim, it's focusing and obsessing about the other person's, what they're doing and what they're not doing. And I really want to spend a few minutes more. I want to talk more about acceptance, because acceptance, I do believe, is key to serenity. And there's a difference between accepting things on a brain level, you know, in our mind, a human mind level, and a difference in accepting things in the subconscious. Do you agree? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it shows up a lot in yoga when we hold our emotions in our hips and sometimes in our shoulders and our neck. Even though you think you've accepted the situation, sometimes it comes out in your body through physical maybe injuries or just soreness or tension there or tightness. So that's great. It's great to release subconsciously through maybe meditation, breath work, or yoga, or boxing, running. But it stays in your cells. We've talked about that.
It does stay in your cells. And when we have acceptance of and letting go of something at a subconscious level, there is a difference in peace and serenity. I wanted to read this about how acceptance is really a huge step in the direction of reality, and it's part of us becoming healthy emotionally. It's how we become healthy emotionally, when we have acceptance of the reality of a situation. And it's mature, you know, it's a maturity level also, an emotional maturity level. Refusal to accept reality causes pain. Sometimes people feel and think that is that if they accept the reality of something, that it makes it okay. I work a lot with clients about this, that they, with something painful going on in their life or in their relationships, they don't want to have the acceptance of it because they feel like it's giving that person permission to do what they're doing or be like they are. And so they think it's saying, it's okay you're doing that, or it's okay that you did that to me. It's okay how someone is acting or treating you, or give someone permission to continue, or that we are accepting what happened gives them an okay to continue. And that's not what acceptance is at all. And I wanted us to really get clarity about that, about how acceptance is for us. Refusing to accept causes more pain in us. It causes us to always be in resistance about it. You attempt to control it, fix it, escape reality, about your feelings, how it's affecting you, what your feelings are. So it's really about acceptance, is about taking responsibility for us and what we can do about our own choices we can make for us to feel better. So whether it's the loss of a relationship, your own limitations, maybe someone else's behavior or feelings, maybe your childhood, letting go is a reminder that we cannot control the past or the reality of a situation. And so, you know, when we do get into acceptance in the beginning, and we're out of that resistance, and we're saying, you know what, this is reality. This is really my reality here, what's going on, and I need to get into acceptance about it. It's not okay. It doesn't feel good. And I think, again, we need to go down into that solar plexus area and pay attention, that mind-body connection. And you were just talking about, you know, feelings and getting in the cells of our body and emotion getting into our body and the cells of our body. And that's one thing that I love to impress and work with and teach clients, is the mind-body connection. Our bodies are always speaking to us. We just have to listen.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, if you have any digestion issues or stomach problems, then, you know, that's linked to your solar plexus chakra, your personal power center. So that can affect digestion.
And when we're not, I see it all the time, when we're not in acceptance of reality of something and we're in resistance, whether we're in resistance overtly and always in somebody's face about what they're doing and we're or whether we're in resistance, we can be in resistance passively, passive regret, you know, really withdrawing and shutting down and isolating and not participating, and all those things are also in resistance. When we are doing that, that's where, and not in acceptance of reality, that's where in that solar plexus, which is our empowerment center and our feeling center, that is where we feel, where we lose our empowerment, where we feel powerless. And when you feel powerless, you feel fear. And then you want to continue to try to change it, you know, and all those emotions. So really reach for, this doesn't feel good. This doesn't feel good trying to change this anymore. This doesn't feel good how I'm being treated. This doesn't feel good in my energy field and what's going on. This doesn't feel good that I'm focused on this person or this addict or that I'm trying to caretake or rescue or fix or change. It doesn't feel good. I'm in constant anxiety and fear about this. That's a sign that we need to listen to say, you know what, I'm in resistance. I need to have acceptance. This is what is, and how can I take care of myself about that in a way that's detaching in love, not in anger, resentment, or revenge, but how? What do I need to do for me to honor myself, to take care of myself, and accept this reality? Now, it can be that we need to take a time out and just have quietness and really detach emotionally, detach physically, for a while from the situation. That doesn't mean totally withdrawing and shutting down for a long period of time, because that's, you know, also can, is a sign of violent, it's quiet violent behavior. It's abusive to do that. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about taking a break, taking a quiet time, working on yourself, withdrawing from the situation and taking your hands off of it and detaching in love for you to get clarity. Sometimes, and this is really key too, sometimes, Laura, having acceptance of reality of something, we will have to go through a grieving period. We will have to go through a sadness because we're finally facing reality about it.
Yeah.
And we have to grieve it. This is reality. I can do nothing about it now. Let me grieve the sadness of it. What do I need to do to take care of me now?
Yeah, and it's okay to go through that little period of sadness or grief. Mm-hmm. It's healthy.
Yes.
Nobody wants to really face it on an everyday basis, but, you know, when those sad feelings come up and you're ready to let them go, just let them go, and then you'll find that your heart is more at peace, your mind is more at peace, and you're taking care of yourself. Your power center is nourished.
Yes.
Instead of,
and when something you said was triggering a thought in me, let me see if I can remember something you said. I said it reminded me of something I wanted to talk about. When we are in honoring our feelings, again, when we're talking about sometimes we have to grieve when we face reality and say, you know what, yes, maybe my child has relapsed or my child's going down a wrong path, as an example. Mm-hmm. And I cannot, this reality, and the reality is I can't change it, I can't control it, I didn't cause it. I can't cure it, all those things. When we get into the acceptance of that, and we have to go through the sadness of that, you know, those are the feelings, and what I was thinking about when you said that was how we, in codependent behavior, have tools that we use that are familiar that we use to shut down so we don't have to feel. We have escape mechanisms, isolating, walling ourselves in, staying really, really, really busy all the time so we don't have to feel, or focusing on other, fixing people, enabling people, focusing on some everybody else for so long that we're not paying attention to how we're feeling. And also being in resistance and constantly trying to change something and not accept it, or being in anger, staying angry, and feels more empowering than honoring your feelings of sadness. Sad is a very vulnerable feeling. Grieving is a very vulnerable feeling. And so for us to go there and honor those feelings is, like you said, it's very healthy for us to do that. We don't want to always be tough and angry and always on the defense.
Nice.
Or always blaming. When we're blaming and focusing on someone else, well, I'm doing this because you did this. The reason I'm acting like this is because you did this, or you acted like this, so that's why I'm acting like this. So when we're in that blame and victim mode, again, we're not taking responsibility for our own actions and our own behavior of how we need to act in a healthy way for ourselves, for our own recovery, for our own health. And so people that do that constantly are blaming. You know, I'm a wreck because of my situation. I'm a wreck because of the way they're behaving or the way they're treating me. Is they're picturing themselves trapped, stuck, victim, and not taking responsibility. And those who do not take responsibility for their own behavior and their own actions cannot change. You can't change if you're blaming someone else all the time. I wanted to ask you, Laura, I don't know if you knew I was going to ask you this. And I can share too, but I wanted to ask you about a time that you remember in your life of having to accept something that was really, really hard to accept, and you had to get in reality about it.
Well, I don't know how codependent this is, but just recently, last week, dealing with wedding planning and my wedding dress and leaving a lot of money and control to I have to surrender a lot during this wedding process, and I went through a really bad experience with the bridal place I got my dress from. And when I went to pay for it, I didn't think it was actually going to come in because I was lied to about 5 times about the date. I said a prayer before I went in. I blessed the place with love. I was promised a discount when I did the final payment, and then that never happened. So a lot of little bullets were being thrown at me, and I was going into victim mode. I was going into blame and anger and feeling trapped. And I took a deep breath. I was in the dress. It wasn't fitting right. And they were just saying a million things that needed to be fixed, and then they told me it was going to be $500 for the alterations after paying thousands of dollars for the dress. So I was either going to cry or yell and get really defensive with the people. So I took a deep breath, put my hands like this at heart center. I said, thank you so much. I need to leave now, and namaste. So I went through a grieving period after that moment. I was really upset and sad, and I felt abused and victim. And
how did you take care of yourself in that situation? How did you rescue yourself or have boundaries or whatever in that situation?
Yeah, so I went, and I was with my fiance's mom, Diane, so I didn't want to act too rude. So I was taking my breath. Oh, my breath work. Thank God for yoga and breath work and things we study, Debbie. I had to do a lot of praying to keep my mouth from saying some awful things to these people. But then when I got home, I decided to get on my yoga mat, and I didn't talk to anyone. Actually, I complained to a few of my friends. I did the whole victim complaining, that whole thing. And then I went on my yoga mat, and I did a really intense workout. I felt like I needed to get that stuff out of my head and out of my body, and I started crying during my workout. Oh, just like all this gunk left. And I was sad for 2 days maybe about it. Now I'm okay. Still a little angry, but I'm okay. So that was my experience.
You took care of yourself, and you have tools to process through your emotions and take care of yourself. And I know you, and I know you do, and I know you do those things. And it's great. You know, we all need to have support, people we can talk to, not people we whine to that validate, oh yeah, you got it real bad. No, people that will help us to see our truth and encourage us and give us hope. We, you know, tools, I think exercise is a huge, huge component. Yoga, lifting weights, running, and sometimes, like you said, we need, if there's a lot of anger and tenseness and stress in our bodies, working out really intense helps to release that. I love also journaling. When you're feeling very sad and grieving, giving yourself permission to cry, you know, getting alone and just crying hard and crying out to God and letting the tears flow and you know, putting your hand over your heart center and saying, I'm so sad, but it's okay. And letting your, giving yourself permission to be sad, that it's okay to be sad. We don't have to be strong all the time. And releasing, you know, letting that grieving, letting that sadness come out. Journaling, you know, I love journaling and writing your feelings out and getting them out. We just need to get it out of us in a healthy way, not in an unhealthy way. So, yeah, acceptance is, I can remember when I was married to my addict husband, and I can remember all the years, the times that I spent trying to get him in treatment or recovery or stay in recovery and policing his meetings and policing where he was and making sure that he was working his program and trying to, you know, calling his sponsor to see if he was working his steps and all this crazy stuff of, you know, he's, you know, having the realization and the acceptance that, you know what, I need to not do anything. You know, I'm going to do nothing because he's going to use if he's going to use. There's nothing I can do to stop that. And having that acceptance and then having the acceptance of, you know, this person's going to continue to use or this person's going to continue to treat me like this. And so, having the, you know, once I had that acceptance and getting into the reality, I had to go through the grieving, go through the sadness, go through all the roller coaster emotions. But what I wanted to bring out is the serenity, accepting the things I cannot change at a subconscious level in accepting reality. We know when that is such a peace. It's different when it's in the subconscious. It's just a knowing, and it's a letting go. It's a true letting go. And, you know, that takes practice, letting go.
Letting go is a tough one, but it's like a daily thing that we need to do, forgiveness and letting go. It's not just saying, oh, I let it go. Yeah.
And having acceptance of maybe you got out of a relationship and the way someone treated you in the past, you know, that they were did you wrong and you had a lot of consequences from that. And not having the acceptance of the past, you know, that it happened and wanting them to pay for that, wanting revenge and still, you know, maybe it was in the past, but you still haven't had acceptance about it. One way you know, I always say if you can't change something, change your perspective about it. So if we can't change the way someone is or treating us or using or whatever the situation, we can't change it. we can change our perspective. That's something that we have control over, is our perspective. So we can go into victim and blame and you know, anger and all those things, or we can change our perspective and say, okay, what good can come out of this for me? Is this going to make me stronger? What is my lesson in this? I know that there's a lesson. I'm going to accept the reality of this. I'm not going to look at it the way I've been. I'm going to change my perspective of it because I cannot change it. When you can't change something, to have peace of mind, you need to change your perspective about it and say, okay, let me look at it this way because this way feels better, and this is something that's taking responsibility for me. I wanted to read this too, or bring this up. Don't cling to the idea that acceptance is a hopeless giving in, a weakness of character. It simply means that there are things we cannot change, and accepting them puts a stop to our needless struggle to trying to change it, and frees our energy so that we can work on us. Like step one, I am powerless over people, places, and things, and it makes my life unmanageable. If I don't feel like I'm powerless over people, places, and things, and how they are, and their personalities, or whatever they're doing, if I don't feel I'm powerless, it makes my life unmanageable, because I'm in resistance and always trying to control and change it. So it's not about that it means a weakness of character if you accept something. It's actually strength of character, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it takes courage to accept things that you can't change. It takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, and I do want to say this, though. We don't accept abuse and say, oh, well, this, you know, I'm having acceptance that I'm being abused. That's not what I'm talking about. We don't accept misery, you know, that we're going to live in this miserable situation. We don't accept that. Or blame the other person and go into victim. We look for ways to take our lives back and make them happy and make changes for us. It's not about doormat behavior. And even when we're reacting to someone like that, we're saying, we're giving them power. When we're blaming them, we're giving them power, saying, well, you're making me feel this way.
Right.
That's being doormat. So it's not about doormat behavior. It's saying, you know what, I'm going to detach from this. I'm going to get out of resistance about it. Because a lot of times when we get out of resistance about something, it can change. Because we're loosening our grip on it. You know, we're letting go and letting God work in that situation. Sometimes silence and calmness, as I said before, is a way. And then sometimes we just have to, in reality, we have to grieve it. When you truly let go at a subconscious level and surrender, there's an inner peace and serenity that God can work then, because we're letting go and allowing Him to work within us. There's no inner struggle. What's some of the things, Laura? You name some things. We'll name some things. What's some things, just to have clarity today, that we can't change?
Well, I think people is a huge one. You can't change how other people are going to react to you or a situation. You can't change their attitude. You can't change someone. I think that's huge, because I know a lot of people, and sometimes myself, want to change another person, and it's out of your control. You have to accept them as they are and move forward. And you can't change your situation, but you can change your perspective of the situation or person. So I think that's huge, Debbie. In yoga a lot, we're going upside down. Sometimes we have our feet above our head, and changing the perspective physically and emotionally is so healing, very healing. It helps physically, the blood rushing to your head and to your heart and out of that root chakra, that feeling of fear and resistance. So it's great to, I think that's an awesome way to heal, is to change your perspective on things.
Yes. And we can't change whether someone's choosing to use drugs or, you know, abuse themselves. We can't change personalities. We can't change people's consequences. You know, sometimes I see this a lot, where people that we love will have consequences of their behavior, and the codependent will rush in to save the person from the consequences, whether it be a bad check they wrote or getting arrested or going to jail or getting them an attorney. I see that a lot with mothers with kids who are addicts. And we, you know, can't change. We all have consequences by choices we make. So we can't change and control someone else's choices and what they choose. Let's go into, because of our time frame, let's move into courage. Accept the things I cannot change and the courage to change the things I can. So when we're talking today about courage and we're talking about codependent behavior, why this is so important is that codependents are fear-based. Most of the decisions, the way choices and things that we do, and growing up, you've grown up in a dysfunctional home or a home where there was addiction, or just a home where there was abuse or your needs weren't met. We grow up with a lot of fear in our relationships. So we need courage to change the things we can. It takes a lot of courage. If we would just take the energy that we use in trying to change others and put that energy on us and have courage to change what we can about us, even how we react to others, even how we allow others to push our buttons, even how we allow others to bother us, you know, changing that. Making a decision, I'm not going to take that personal anymore. I'm not going to wear my feelings on my sleeves. I'm not going to be sensitive in what someone says to me or does, that I think it's about me. It's never about me. It's always about them. And we need to, you know, get. I love have this activity that clients do, where you take a piece of paper and draw a line down the middle and at the top, property lines, and have them put over here what is their property, the person, their significant other, and what is my property. And you don't cross that property line. You know, someone else's happiness, someone else's choices, someone else's behavior, someone else's, you know, choice, whatever that is, that's theirs. Same with us. Our happiness is our responsibility, our choices, what we choose to do and not do, that's our property line. And we get muddled, you know, in codependency, we don't know boundaries well, so we get muddled in the boundaries. The boundary lines are muddled. Where do I end and they begin? Where do they begin and I end? What are the property lines? And we need to have the courage to not step over into someone else's property or allow, you know, we can't make them treat us a different way, but we can take responsibility to have the courage not to react to how they treat us and make a decision and a choice or create a boundary for ourselves. And that takes courage to do that. Change, courage to change the things I can. Change takes courage, don't you think so? When you're really making huge changes?
Oh, absolutely. Because it has a lot to do with faith, too. You need to trust and have faith that if you do take this courageous step, or you do step into a fearful state, which is false evidence appearing real, you don't know the outcome. But you need to trust and know that everything is working out for your highest good. If you take that leap of faith, you take that courage, and you choose peace and serenity and love over fear. I love that quote. I say it all the time, feel the fear and do it anyway. We're constantly forced to do something out of our comfort zone, and it's important to allow yourself to feel the fear, feel that little second of discomfort, and then go for it. And then you usually feel a lot stronger, and go through a nice growth spurt.
Yeah, I do go through a nice growth spurt. And courage is not the absence of fear, too. I love that saying. You know, people say, well, I want to wait till my fear goes. You know, courage is just stepping out and taking that risk. It doesn't matter. You know, you're fearful. You say, I know this is healthy for me. I know I need to do this. I'm taking the courage to make these changes in my life. And, you know, I'm scared to death inside, but I'm going to do it anyway. Trust God. I always say, God will have the safety net there for you.
Yes, the universe or God has your back.
Yes. He is faithful to do that. The universe is faithful. You know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, for a second, about codependents having attachment, that we have attachment problems. And I wanted to talk about why we need courage to change that, because that's part of the things that we are hard for us to change is the attachments that we have. And some of those attachments can be the attachment of not letting go. The attachment of hanging on. You know, they say we're loyal to our own detriment, that we have blood under our fingernails and letting go of things that don't honor us. So we have attachments to that. Yes. Obsessing worry. Attachment to that. Focusing on problems, other people's problems. We have attachment to the fear of rejection. Strong emotional reactions
and opinions.
We have attachments.
We have attachments to toxic relationships.
Feels familiar. You know, sometimes
to believe that the situation is called.
Sometimes we need to have courage to say how that looks. No matter what the situation looks like. I'm going to have the courage to believe miracles that God has enacted for me. That nothing is hopeless.
Sometimes there's the courage to stop blaming and take responsibility.
And then the wisdom to know the difference. And courage to stop talking about it. Here's a saying I read the other day. Courage is fear that has said its prayers.
That's nice.
I love that. So the wisdom about the difference.
Well, I think that the wisdom, it often comes from your intuition. And it's important to detach yourself from the situation or the person and get quiet and know that once you listen, you'll find your answers. If you need to step out of your comfort zone and confront that person or situation, or if you need to back away and be quiet and accept them as they are, you know, I think the wisdom comes from your intuition and being quiet.
And I think to ask ourselves, I need wisdom to know the difference of what I can change and what I can't. And part of that wisdom is asking myself, is this my responsibility? Is this my problem? Is this about me? Or is that their stuff and their responsibility? And we need wisdom to know what belongs to that person and what belongs to us.
Yes, definitely. That's a tough one.
Laura, we talked about the prayer for an hour. Acceptance, serenity, courage. I want to also have a meditation here at the end.
Yeah, let's do a quick one. You want me to do like two, 3 minutes?
Yeah, go ahead. Just however you feel, ponder everything, hearing, just go with the end.
All right, sounds great. So let's sit up nice and tall. And go ahead and close your eyes and focus on your breathing for a moment. So you want to inhale through the nose and then take a slow exhale through the nose. And just notice if you're holding tension in any one area. Maybe your shoulders shrugged up towards the ears, so you want to draw your shoulders back and down. You want to lift your heart and slow down your breathing. So on your inhale, just hold for a few seconds at the top, and then slow exhale. And then I'd like you to take a nice deep breath into your heart center. Inhale courage for yourself. And take an open mouth exhale. Release all fear. Let it go. Good. One more time. Inhale courage and confidence. Fill your heart. Fill your belly. Fill your lungs. And open mouth exhale. Release any fear, any stress or tension, allow it to go. One more time. Inhale serenity and peace for yourself. Hold at the top. And exhale acceptance and peace for everybody else. Ha, let it go. Again, one more time, inhale through the nose, nice and slow. Breathe in inner peace and serenity. And exhale peace and serenity for everybody else. Then take your hands to your heart and say to yourself, I accept myself exactly as I am, right here, right now. Thank you for making me exactly as I am. And to accept the things I cannot change. Take one more deep breath into your heart. Big inhale. Open mouth. Exhale. Let it all go. Surrender. Release. Ha. Good. And then take your hands to heart center in prayer pose, Anjali Mudra. I'll have you bow your head to your heart. Thank you all so much for joining us today. Thank you, Debbie, for your words of wisdom. I hope you all have a wonderful day filled with love, joy, and peace. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease and serenity. And may all beings everywhere be loved and free. Namaste.
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 Thank you. Thank you for joining
us today.
You can contact me at www.insideoutwellnesscoach.com. And I have a contact form there on my website. I also have some private groups on Facebook, support groups, and getting ready to launch a webinar, on hearing codependency from the conscious. Laura, tell us how we can get with you.
You can find me on my website. It's www.yogabliss.info. Or you can find me on Facebook or Instagram. My Instagram name is Laura B. Yoga, and my Facebook, you can look me up from my name, Laura Bookbinder. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Yes.
Namaste.
Namaste.